your presence. Father, we know that you came in with us. We know that you're with us right here and now, Lord. And we're trusting in you to lead us, to guide us, to show yourself strong through your word this morning, that we're encouraged, that we're uplifted, that we're built up as a body of Christ to go forth and to share the gospel, to love on people in the name of Jesus, to do that which is right in the name of God, Father, that we live our life in a way that represents you. And Father, we're thankful that you have made us, created us right here in your image, that Father, you're leading and showing us yourself right here, right now, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So a couple questions for you, pretty rhetorical. What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Everybody, pretty simple answer. What gives you free and complete intimacy with God? Not quite as confident in your answers. What gives us complete and free intimacy with God? Grace through faith. Okay, it has opened a door for us that we have grace. We have God's riches at Christ's expense. We have it opened unto us that we may, through faith, simply believing in Jesus, we have access and intimacy with God. Okay, and what did you do to earn God's grace? Again, another nothing, right? So we get a couple of them pretty confident. You guys know that nothing can separate you from God's love and that you cannot earn God's grace. Okay, if you get that concept, it is so simple. But if you get that down inside of you, that you realize nothing can separate you from God and His love, and that you did not earn the grace that puts you in such a blessed place, okay? If you get that and grab onto that, it'll change the way you live your life. I believe it is so simple. I think we believe it, okay? We even say it, you know? You guys, you hollered nothing a couple of times. You know the answer. You can say it. But it's when you get to the point of actually living it, okay, where you fully believe and understand and you're living out the concept that God is always with you, He never leaves you, that you can't separate yourself from His love, and that you didn't earn that special position that you're in. Okay, and when you live that out, then you get to experience the fullness of your walk with God. People have fabricated 1,000 different ways to separate themselves from God, or that they convince themselves that they're separated from God. Okay, some people think that God is in outer space somewhere. Okay, you ever met somebody like that? They pray to a God that's out there somewhere. He's in outer space. They have not received Him in. So to them, they're already separated from God. God's up there, we're down here. Some think that they have made too many mistakes. Okay, they've failed too much. Okay, and God doesn't want to be around somebody, a failure like me, therefore I am separated from God. That's what they're thinking. Some people compare themselves to other people. Okay, the Bible says not to compare yourselves one to another. Okay, it'll get you in trouble because you compare yourself to someone else thinking that God is closer to so-and-so than He is to me. Okay, and therefore you are creating a separation that's literally not even there. So today I want to give you some truth. I want to give you the truth on this very matter. One more time, okay? Because you've heard it, you know it, you can quote it, you can say, I'm saved by grace, I didn't earn it. You can say, God is always with me, I'm not separated from God. But I'm going to say it one more time in hopes that you will become fully persuaded, fully convinced, without a doubt, that you cannot be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You cannot be separated. Let's start with the scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. How about 14? Ephesians 3, 14. This is Paul. It's a prayer. He's praying for some people. And he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. He's praying this so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the other saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, it is an understanding, a revelation, that you are so intimately, powerfully loved that will create a fullness in your walk with God. Because many say that they believe that God loves them. Yet they're convinced that God's love for them is based on their performance. Okay? When they do good, and that's why most people, if you ask, you know, are you separated from God? Well, I haven't been doing too bad. No, I'm pretty close to God. And they're basing it on what they have done or not done. Okay? So when they do good, then yeah, God loves me. Yep, God loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves you too. Okay? But when they do wrong, then they somehow begin to think that, you know, they need to make up for it somehow. They have to earn God's love back. Okay? The human mind is quick to go this route. Okay? If it's not retrained by the Word of God. Okay? It's a natural human tendency. If someone rejects you, they hurt you. Okay? That tendency is that we think that if we have hurt someone, okay, if we have offended someone, or if we haven't done exactly what they asked, okay, what if somebody asked you, you know, with the boys sometimes we'll ask them to take the trash out, and then they walk by the trash 100 times without ever taking it out, and eventually it kind of dawns on them, I didn't take the trash out, right? So if someone has hurt someone, they've offended someone, they haven't done exactly what they asked, the assumption is that they will not love you or not want to be around you anymore. Okay, if you haven't done what mom and dad say to do, sometimes you want to go hang out in a room. You want to hide out. You don't want to be around them. Okay, you want to get away and keep yourself from them. Think about Adam and Eve. Okay, great example. I think we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago that, you know what, they're in the Garden of Eden. God said, you can eat of everything freely except for that one. And what'd they do? They ate of the one, right? And the first thing they did was hide themselves from God. They wanted to be away from him. They knew that. It's a natural human tendency to do that. You know, for many years I worked as a counselor in a correctional facility for teenagers, teenage girls. And I'll bet you out of all the, I don't want to bet you, but I'd say that out of all the girls that were in that facility, okay, they came and they went. It was supposed to be a 6-month or less program. Some were there up to a year. But during their time there, as they would come through and go, I'd counsel and sat down with people, and we had groups and different things. But I'll bet you out all those girls that came through, they're probably 90% or more at some point had run away from home. Okay? We had separate categories. Some were the gangs. You know, they were in the gangs, the tough ones. That was my group. And then there was the other ones. And this little lady, this little counselor lady had to really, I called them the mouses, the mice. Okay, because they were these little kind of sheepish girls, but they were runaways. That was their biggest crime and offense. That's what had got them there, was being a runaway. Well, out of all these girls, so many of them had at some point run away, but they were not necessarily running away to be rebellious and to try to you know, make their parents mad. They would run away because they had disappointed their parents to the point. They had already failed. They had made messes. They got busted for this, that, drugs, whatever. Gotten pregnant, had a boyfriend they weren't supposed to, whatever it was. They had gotten in trouble. And they were convinced that their family simply would not care if they disappeared. Okay? Based on their own performance, they determined that they were not valued by their parents anymore. Okay? And so they think, they won't even miss me. They won't even care. Okay? And so based on their own performance, they expected to be rejected. Okay? So they rejected them first. That's what people do. They avoided those who loved them dearly because they felt ashamed and they felt unworthy. They lost their value, they thought, in their parents' eyes. They don't love me anymore because of all the mistakes I've made. Okay? That is one of the main problems with legalistic religion. Okay? Legalistic religion is something that keeps people from coming to Jesus. They assume because they've missed the mark, because they've stepped aside, they tripped, they stumbled, they sinned, they fell, they whatever, that they, and they know that. You don't have to tell them, they already know. But they assume that Jesus, and then consequently the church, doesn't want anything to do with them. They don't want me around them. Guys like me, man, I just stay away. Okay, I've heard it. I've heard people say, the walls would fall down if I went to your church. There's no way a guy like me, that's just not for me. They just feel like they have done too much and they can't be around people. That type of false religion is what I'm asking you to lay down today. Okay, that thought process that says because you've tripped or you made a mistake that you can't go and be around God, that you, He doesn't want anything to do with you. Okay, I'm going to ask you to lay that down and not pick it up again. Okay, let go of those lies. Self-condemnation. Let go of that lie of unworthiness that says you're not good enough. You've made too many mistakes, whatever it is. You were made by God, for God. That's the truth. You were made by God, for God. You are not broken. You're not unfit. But you are made in His image, and you've been purified by simple faith in His Son. That was His plan. That's what God said needed to happen. That's what you've done. So mistakes, failures, and even sin, outright walking the wrong direction, cannot separate you from God. It will not keep you, God's love from getting to you. It will not keep Him from loving you. If it could, then God would have never come to you in the beginning. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, while we were yet sinners. He didn't wait for you to get all cleaned up and say, okay, now you can come to me. He did His saving before that. Ephesians, we're still in that book, chapter 2, verse 4. Says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were still dead in sins, He hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. God's love for you is not something that He takes back as soon as you mess up. It just doesn't work that way. He sent His Son to die for the sinner. Okay? Then we come unto Him. Then if we trip, we stumble, we kind of go that wrong route, we sin again, God does not say, oh, I'm taking it back. God does not do that. It is not something that can be taken back because of mistakes that you make. The Bible says just the opposite. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Okay? We can read that in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Okay, shed abroad. That term has always, it doesn't trip me up. I understand it now, but shed abroad. Okay, if you look it up, it means that it's something that is poured out in a gushing manner. Okay, it wasn't held back. It wasn't a little trickle of God's love that He put in your heart. He said it was shed abroad. It was poured out in a manner that was uncontainable even. Okay, not only did He not hold anything back, but He poured it out into your life in a way that it was infused into your life. Okay, so that it can't be taken back. Okay, I want to give you an example. Think about it like this. Most of you have probably buttered some toast at some point in your life. Okay, you have taken a little pat of butter and put it on a muffin. Okay, you've taken, you know, you go out to eat and they give you those little cubes of butter. You have taken some of that and spread it on your pancakes. Okay, now at our house, we use one of those little butter dishes, one of the little rectangular things that has a little lid that you take off and you get your little pat of butter. Okay, well, that little container, when it's not in use, we keep it in the cupboard. It's got the butter in it. We just put it up in the cupboard. Okay, now we heat our house a lot with wood. Okay, so by morning, it's pretty cold in the house. So in the wintertime, guess what? You take that butter out of there, it's rock hard. You take that lid off, you take a little pat of butter and go to spread it on your toast, and what happens? Right? It rips your toast, it won't sink in. Okay, it doesn't spread out. It's still hard as a rock. Okay? But if I wanted to, because it is so hard, if I decided, you know what, I don't think I'm going to put butter on this piece of toast, I can literally scoop that chunk of butter off and throw it away, right? It doesn't sink in. It is still on the surface of that toast. It hasn't gone in yet, okay? But in the summertime, it's just the opposite. In the summertime, that little container, it's up above the stove. So if we cook something on a stove and it's already 95 out or whatever, guess what? That butter gets so soft. It is almost liquid. It is extremely spreadable, okay? And to the point that you take a scoop of that stuff and spread it on your toast, guess what? It almost instantly is infused into that bread to the point you ain't taking it back, right? If you wanted to, it's like, oh, well, it's already melted in. There's nothing you can do about it. It is that deep in, okay? It has been absorbed to the point that it no longer is separable, okay? Nothing can separate you from God's love. His love for you is warm, and it spreads easy. It is soft, and it is spread all the way across your heart, okay? Even if he wanted to, he couldn't take his love back from you. He has already poured it out, shed it abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit that he gave unto you. That's how much God loves you. Romans chapter 8, we're in Romans, go back a few more verses. Chapter 8, verse 35. Here the Apostle Paul is writing. He had figured some things out. I love Paul because he figured some things out and he just wrote it down for us. Verse 35, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And then he says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Okay, what's going to separate us from the love of Jesus? He answered his own question and says nothing. Okay, tribulation, trouble, affliction, distress, pressures. The pressure of this world, it cannot separate you from the love of God. It has been bestowed freely upon you through Jesus Christ. You may be shunned. You may be criticized. You may get persecuted for your faith, okay, by your family, friends, co-workers. But it will not put any sort of a wedge between you and God. It simply cannot. Famine, okay? Paul mentioned famine. In this reference, it refers to lack of or coming up short. It means that even when you come up short, even when you fail, even when you make mistakes, God does not reject you. You may make a mistake, but his love remains steadfast. It did not quiver, did not move, did not stop one tiny bit. Paul referred to nakedness, and it means exactly what you think it means. It means that even when you're stripped of everything that you own, but either by some fault of your own or somebody else does something, takes your stuff away, even during that, God's love for you will not dwindle one tiny bit. Okay? Peril or sword can't withhold the love of God for you. It can't hold back that love that Christ has. Every one of you has experienced something in life, some time when, man, it just seemed like life was a battlefield. Everything seems against you. The whole world has risen up against you and it's coming at you. Even in the heat of that battle, God's love persists. It does not let up. Okay? God said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. He lives inside of you right now and is right there with you in the heat of any battle. Okay? He is going through it with you. And I'm telling you this morning because it is so important to get this down inside. To know that God's love does not waver. It does not stop when you mess up, make a mistake. It does not stop when you're going through good stuff. It does not stop when you're going through bad stuff. Some people think the love of God is only evident when it's good. Okay? But it's not. God's love is evident in the tough times too. Okay? When you know that nothing can keep you from God's love, you begin to live differently. Okay? When you know that God adores you, you do not live your life beat down with guilt and shame and condemnation. You begin to expect blessing instead of cursing. You anticipate favor instead of resistance from God. Now you anticipate that and you live like that. When you understand that intimate affection that God has for you, you're going to live like you're not ashamed to be who you are. You're a child of God, man. You're blessed. You're loved on by the King, the Great One. Okay, the one that matters. There's a couple places in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says that. Hebrews chapter 8 confirms it again. It says that God had a plan through the new covenant grace of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to dwell in you, to abide in you, to live in you, so you can live knowing that God has moved in and He's not moving out. Okay? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Says that, know ye not your own selves that how that Jesus Christ is in you? Okay, one Bible version says it like this. It says, do you not realize about yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Okay, He wants you to know that. He wants you to live that way. He's not gone from you. That trouble you walked into, that place, if you walk into places that are, not places where Jesus would probably hang out, Jesus goes in with you, right? He didn't leave you. That's why people feel like a fish out of water sometimes. When you're a believing Christian and you go in someplace, you know you shouldn't be, you start to feel kind of funny. It's because Jesus is feeling pretty funny about it. He doesn't want to be in there. He's thinking, what are we doing here, bro? Let's go. Let's get out of this. Okay? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul said this, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, you can try to get away from the love of God. People have done it. People have tried and just ignored, tried to just stay away. Tried to just avoid those kind of people. Margie and I talk sometimes, it's not funny, but it is kind of funny, about people that have backslidden that we know very well, and we run into them and they cannot look you in the eye. They don't even want to be around you. Okay, and it's not, we're trying to love on them. We're there ready to give them an embrace. Sometimes we do, and it's like, oh, ew. You know, it's like they're squeaking because they're being loved on, and that's hard. Okay? Sometimes people try to just avoid. It's like they might even see you coming. They'll go down a different aisle. They might not go to the store. They see your car in the parking lot, right? It's they're wanting to avoid that kind of a interaction with godliness or someone that might love on them in the name of Jesus. You can try to run. You can try and avoid God. But you're going to find that you cannot escape the love that God has for you. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember one guy that tried to get away from the presence of God? Guy got swallowed up by a big fish, right? Jonah. Okay, you guys remember the story of Jonah? It's a great read. It's real short if you just want a quick pick-me-up. Jonah tried to get away from God. Okay, he literally jumped on a ship and tried to flee from the presence of God. He even told the other guys on the ship, they're like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm trying to get away from the presence of God. He just tells them, I'm trying to avoid God. Okay? He was trying to escape, trying to separate himself from God. But he quickly found out that no matter where he fled to, no matter how much he wanted God to reject him, that God would not leave him. no matter how big of a mistake he made, no matter how rebellious it was to disobey God, to not do what God wanted him to do, he could not put one inch of distance between him and God. He found it out. Okay? And you cannot separate yourself from the love of God either. You may turn away from him. You can turn your back on him. You can try to walk away from God, but he never leaves your side. Okay? When you have the slightest inkling to turn back, he is right there waiting for you. Okay? You know, out on the ranch, we have a loyal cattle dog named Annie. Okay, a little Australian shepherd, brown and white, cute as a bug's ear. Thinks she's more of a couch potato than a cow dog, but she's still a good dog. That dog sometimes, you know, I consider her extremely loyal. Okay, she's a loyal dog. Not loyal in the sense that she will go and do exactly what I tell her to do, but she's loyal in the sense that she will always be with you to protect you. Okay, when there's stuff around, she is just puts herself in that right spot to kind of be there. And I remember, see if you can picture this with me, but sometimes I go out and I'm going to walk out into the feedlot and I think, oh, I should call the dog and have her come help me sort these steers out. And I turn around and say, Annie! Oh, there you are. She's right there, you know. She's right by my side the whole time. And so you almost trip over her trying to go find Annie, you know what I mean? She's right there. She's loyal to be there by you more than she is to do what you tell her. Sometimes in that sense, I'd say, okay, Annie, go get him. Go get him. And she just looks at me, just doesn't move, just looks at me in these big puppy dog eyes and says, what? You want me to go over there, but you're staying here? That ain't happening, right? She's going to be by my side. I tried to train this dog. I had a dog growing up that was so great about watching the gate. You could swing a gate wide open and say, watch the gate. And that dog would sit there and you could go and feed and do all your stuff and just leave that gate open all day long. And that dog would sit there. This dog, she's not wired that way. Okay, as soon as I say, watch the gate, and she'll defend that gate while I'm standing right there. But as soon as I walk, turn my back to go get back on that tractor or to go out in the pasture, she's right there by my side. She will not stay in that gate. It's because she is not wired that way. She is wired to be where I'm at. Okay, God is wired to be where you are. Okay, I'm not trying to belittle God by comparing him to a dog or comparing his love to a pat of butter. Okay, but God is wired to be with you. He is not going to leave your side. He is faithful, loyal in every sense of the word to do that. Okay? Rather than letting your mind or your flesh, letting the devil convince you or try to put any doubt in your heart about the intimacy of God's love for you, I want you to allow yourself to be fully persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God. The Apostle Paul, great example again. He went through shipwrecks. He went through beatings and famines and stonings and intense persecution. He was rejected by some of the closest people around him. And yet he is never once found in the Scripture questioning the love of Christ for him. In fact, it's just the opposite. He's the guy that wrote Romans 8, 38 and 39. He's the guy that said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when life happens, it won't separate you from God. Your past, your present, your future, the highs and the lows, the hills and the valleys, and not even demons can divide you from the unhindered, unearned, intense love that God has for you. Be persuaded. Be fully persuaded. Be convinced. Be confident that you are fully loved and truly valued by God this morning. Okay, live that way. Live with that understanding and it changes the way you live it out. I want to close this morning with a song. It's one that most of us probably have never heard before. But it really, I love the lyrics to it and the way that it ministers unto you. It's by a group called United Pursuit, and it's simply called The Simple Gospel. And if we can get that.